بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation on the book of Tawheed, and we have reached chapter 10. Chapter 10 entitled ما جاء في الذبح لغير الله. The mentioning of what is, or the mentioning of slaughtering for other than Allah. Concerning the slaughtering for other than Allah. This is the title of this chapter. In Arabic, the term al-dhabh means slaughtering. Slaughtering of the cattle. لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ, for other than Allah. And slaughtering for other than Allah falls into two categories. Falls into two categories. First, slaughtering for other than Allah as a means of nearness and magnification. This is greater shirk. This is greater shirk. Takes the person out of the fold of Islam. So this is the first category. Slaughtering for other than Allah as a means of nearness and magnification. So this is shirkun akbar, major shirk or greater shirk that takes the person out of Islam. Second, slaughtering for other than Allah by being due to pleasure or happiness rather, and honoring. This does not take the person out of the fold of Islam, and this could be from the ordinary matters which may be wanted sometimes and other times may not be wanted. In principle it is permitted. The author, of course, intends the first part. What do you mean, the first category? What is the first category, I'm asking you? The first category is slaughtering for other than Allah. This is a greater, this is the greater shirk. Shirk meaning associating partners with Allah in worship. This takes the person out of the fold of Islam. As to the second type, this is as, for example, if a leader comes visiting an area and you slaughter for him. If you slaughter for him as a means of magnification and nearness to him, then this is major shirk. Then this is greater shirk. And the slaughtered animals are forbidden. How do we know? What's the sign for this? The sign for this is to slaughter in front of his face, then you leave it. You slaughter the animal and you leave it. However, if you slaughter for him as a means of, as an honor, honoring him and welcoming him, and you cook the meat and the meat is eaten, then this is honoring. And this is not shirk. This is not shirk. You understand the difference now? Do you understand the difference between these situations now? So I will repeat. If the slaughtering is done for him, is done for him as a means of magnification and nearness to him, then this is greater shirk. But if it is done as an honoring and people eat from it, then this is as it is. not a greater shirk. طيب, here slaughtering for other than Allah, this includes the prophets. If someone slaughters for the prophets or for the angels or for the righteous and others, every slaughter for other than Allah done as a means of nearness and magnification to whom it is being slaughtered, then this is greater shirk. Now, what are the evidences for this? What are the evidences? First evidence is the saying of Allah in the Quran in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verses 162 and 163. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High says, قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. Say, verily, my prayers, my sacrifice, my living and my dying are for Allah, the Lord of all of Al-Alameen, all that exists. He has no partner, and of this I have been commanded, and I am the first of the Muslims. Oh, sorry. We interrupt the class for a few minutes, inshallah. There is a friend of our new sister, a new okay, they don't have a mic. Okay. Is a new here? A new Muslim from Yakun here? Yakun? Is she got disconnected? I noticed this. Okay, we'll wait. We continue. Okay. This is the friend of our sister who accepted Islam 2 days ago. Her name is Megan, and she wants to declare Islam, inshallah. We continue until our sister returns. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي نَعْمْ وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Verily, my prayers, my sacrifice, my living and my dying are for Allah, the Lord of Al-Alameen. He has no partner, and of this I have been commanded, and I am the first of the Muslims. What does this mean here? My salah, the term salah linguistically means the dua. The term salah linguistically means dua, invocation, supplication. The legal meaning is that it is the worship of Allah by certain sayings, known sayings and actions, beginning with takbir, declaring that Allah is greater, and ending with taslim. This is the linguistic and the legal meaning of salah. The linguistic meaning of salah is ad-du'a, supplication. The legal meaning is the worship of Allah by doing known actions and sayings, beginning with takbir and ending with taslim. The nusuk, inna salati wa nusuki, my salah and my sacrifice. Linguistically, the term nusuk means worship. Linguistically, the term nusuk means worship. Legally, it refers to slaughtering the animal, the sacrificial animal. The next in the verse, my living and my dying. Mahyaya wa mamati. Meaning, running my affairs. Living and dying are for Allah. Salati wa nusuki. The term salah and nusuk, which we mentioned earlier, affirm which type of worship I'm asking you. My salah, my sacrifice. Affirm which type of tawheed? Question to you. Tawheed, al-ibadah, tawheed al-uluhiyya. Uluhiyya, that's right. Tawheed of worship, correct. طيب, محيايا ومماتي, my living and my dying, affirms which type? That's right. Rububiyya, exactly. The lordship. Naam, affirms the tawheed of lordship. طيب, Allah, my salah, my nusuk, my living, my dying are for Allah. Allah. Allah is the title. Is the title of the divine essence. Its root is al-ilah. 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 Now the article, the hamza in al-ilah, al-i, this is known as hamza, i. This movement, hamza, al-ilah, is omitted because of abundant use and for lightening the pronunciation. And it means al-ma'luh, meaning the magnified and beloved. The magnified and beloved. This is the meaning of Allah. And the origin of the term. The origin is al-ilah and the hamza I is omitted for lightning. And it means the one who is worshipped out of love and magnification. The one who is worshipped out of love and magnification. And it denotes the divine essence, himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbil alameen, qul inna salati ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي, my living and my death and my dying, لله, for Allah, رب العالمين, رب العالمين, رب, the one to whom belongs the command, running of affairs and creation. This is the meaning of الرب. Al-alameen, meaning whoever is other than Allah. Rabbul alameen refers to anyone or anything other than Allah. Also, al-alameen, in addition to this meaning, it also refers to those who may be present at a particular time, at a particular time, as concerning the children of Israel in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:47, وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. The term عَالَمِين in the general sense comprises everything other than Allah, anything other than Allah, anyone and or anything other than Allah. Also it may refer to العالمين, other than Allah, at a particular or in a particular period. Like with respect to the children of Israel, وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ, and that I preferred you to the عالمين, those other than Allah, in their time period. In their time period. Not every one other than Allah in the absolute sense. You understand the difference? You understand the difference. And irrespective of the time. Because this ummah is better. You understand? Is that clear? You see, someone can come to you and tell you, it is in the Quran that Allah preferred us over the entire creation, right? They could come and tell you this. And because they don't know what the term Al-Alameen refers to. You understand? What about the rest? MashaAllah, we have some people are responding now. Jay. طيب. العالمين, anyone, يعني the creation, creation. Other than Allah, right? Everything, anyone and or everything other than Allah is known as العالمين. Clear? Also, it refers to the same meaning, but in a particular period. Also, it refers to the same meaning, but in a particular period. Not in the absolute sense, over the entire creation. You understand? Yes, in the absolute sense, everything other than Allah, naam, is al-alameen. All that exists. It also refers to the same meaning, but in a particular period. As in the case we gave earlier, in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah says, وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ, عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ of their times. Not al-alameen, all that exists and ever existed and continues to exist. You understand the difference? You understand? So the children of Israel were preferred over whom? Over al-alameen of their times. Yeah, is that clear? No, when alameen is mentioned, it mentioned in general. But if it comes specific to a certain period, then it refers to that period. As in the case of Bani Israel. Tayyib. Alaykum as-salam. Then in the verse, we continue the explanation of this verse, which is the dalil for the title of this chapter. لا شريك له. He has no partner. لا شريك له. لا شريك له in his worship. لا شريك له in his lordship. لا شريك له in his names and attributes. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ash-Shura, in 42:11, said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like unto him, and he is the all hearer, all seer. Those who claim that there are partners to Allah, like those who worshipped the idols and images, or Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam, are astray. They went astray. And as some poets who elevated the created to the level of the Creator in their poetry, like for example in the infamous poem by Al-Busiri in praising the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and which is promoted and sung by some figures in some Muslim countries, and they have bands to do that, and which is highlighted by the mystic Sufis. And in it he says, Ya akram al khalqi, ma li man aludhu bihi, siwaka inda hulul al hadith al amami. O you most noble creature, who other than you? Who other than you to seek refuge in at the times of grave calamities? This is the known or the infamous Burda. Burda poem sung by bands from Indonesia and from here and there, and promoted by May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide him to the truth. Yusuf Islam. And in it he continues to say, فَإِنَّ مِنْ جُودِكَ الدُّنْيَا وَضُرَّتَ. It is from your bounty this world, still referring to the Prophet, it is from your bounty and your favor is, and your favor is this world and its and the hereafter, and from your knowledge, and وَمِنْ عُلُومِكَ عِلْمُ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ, and from your knowledge is the knowledge of اللوح, اللوح المحفوظ, the preserved tablet and the pen. This is from the gravest shirk, greater shirk, because in these words he made the world of this life and the hereafter from what? From the bounties of the Messenger, and this necessitates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has nothing to do with this. Similarly, in his statement, it is from your knowledge, listen carefully to his words, it is from your knowledge is the knowledge of the preserved tablet and the pen. This means no other one other than you knows of this. It means this is not all of your knowledge, O Muhammad. So what is left for Allah? What is left for Allah? We seek refuge in Allah from this misguidance or shirk. This is so popular, quote unquote, in many, many Muslim countries. And they think that this is from praising the Prophet, and they think that this is from loving the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is innocent and free from this kind of shirk love. No one from his companions who loved him dearly ever mentioned such a grave wording of things of praise, because they knew he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not approve it. He was the one who said, "Don't overpraise me," as the Christians had done with Isa alayhi salam, because this leads to shirk and worship of other than Allah. We continue the verse. لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت. And in this I have been commanded, meaning to have sincere worship of Allah and to negate shirk. And the one who commands is Allah Azza wa Jal. وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And I am from the first Muslims, submitters to Allah and Islam. This possibly may refer to be first in time, so necessitates that this first is relative, meaning I am the first Muslim from this ummah, from this nation. Why? Because before him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were those who submitted to Allah in Islam. Also, it may indicate that the first here is in magnitude. In magnitude. What does this mean? That the greatest of mankind in their Islam and most perfect in their submission and yielding is, fill the blanks, is, who? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, in this sense, his first is absolute. You understand? In this sense, this first would be absolute. And this kind of wording occurs to a great extent. Like, for example, yourself may say, I am the first to believe in this. Although others before you believed in it. However, you intend in your wording that you will be the first to hasten to believe, and there will never you will deny such a thing. You understand? So this will be from a form of this type of meaning. Also, the example, a relevant example, is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "Nahnu awla bishakki min Ibrahim," حينما قال رب أرني كيف تحيي الموتى. قال ولم تؤمن قال بلى ولكن ليطمئن قلبي. As in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, Sahih al-Bukhari volume 6, book 60, hadith 61, the Prophet ﷺ said, we have more right to be in doubt than Ibrahim when he said, listen carefully, we have more right to be in doubt than Ibrahim when he said, my Lord, show me how you give life to the dead. We have more right to be in doubt than Ibrahim when he said, "My Lord, show me how you give life to the dead." He said, "Do you not believe?" He said, "Yes, I believe, but to be stronger in faith." This does not mean that Ibrahim doubted. He was in doubt. But what the Prophet ﷺ means, if there could be an arising doubt, we have more right to be in doubt than him. Otherwise, we are not in doubt, and so Ibrahim is not in doubt. Muslimi. Ana awwal al-Muslimi. First, Muslimi. Be submitting in Islam to Allah. Islam, when the title Islam is mentioned and generalized, it comprises Iman. It comprises Iman, faith. Because in this case, when it is generalized, it means submission to Allah outwardly and inwardly. Islam, when it is mentioned alone and generalized, it includes faith. It includes Iman. Because what is intended is al-Islamu or al-istislamu, submission to Allah, zahiran wa batina, outwardly and inwardly. This is evident in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:112. Bala man aslama wajhahu lillah wa huwa muhsin. Yes, but whoever submits his face to Allah, this is the submission, the inward submission. وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ, and he is good doer. This is the outward. Similarly, in Al Imran 3:85. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. And whoever seeks a religion other than Allah, other than Islam, it will never be accepted from him. This verse, comprises the outward Islam, which is the actions, and the inward Islam, which is the belief in the heart, attestation, so forth. This is when Islam is mentioned alone, when the term Islam is mentioned alone. Is that clear? So when the term Islam is mentioned alone, it includes faith. It includes faith. Okay. Understood? Fine. Now, on the other hand, I repeat it. If Islam is mentioned, then it refers to, it includes Iman. And it will refer to the outward and inward. Submission to Allah outwardly and inwardly. Clear. So it will include Iman. إِذَا ذُكِرَ الْإِسْلَامِ عِنْدَ الْإِطْلَاقِ. In generality, it includes Iman. Now, if, on the other hand, إِذَا ذُكِرَ الْإِيمَانِ, if Iman is mentioned alone, then it includes Islam. Then it includes Islam. So, whenever Iman is established truly, then it necessitates the existence of Islam. Is that clear? Is this clear? Okay. Now, if they come together, if they come together. Now I want you then to tell me what Islam indicates then, what it will refer to then, and what Iman will refer to then. This will show clearly whether you understood it or not. If they come together, Islam will refer to the outward actions, and Iman will refer to the inward actions. Correct? Where is the proof for this? Where is the proof for this understanding? Now, you tell me. We discussed this before. Where is the proof? No. The hadith, yes, of Bukhari. No. You see, two things, when they were mentioned both, and they were distinguished. When they were distinguished. Hadith of Jibreel, exactly. Yes, hadith of Jibreel, alayhi salam. When he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tell me about Islam. Tell me about Islam. So he told him, he defined Islam as what? The outward actions, right? The five pillars, the outward actions, isn't it? Isn't it? Huh? Right? The outward actions. And when he asked him, inform me about faith, he told him about what? His answer was, about what? What kind of actions? The belief. The inward actions. Exactly. Now, so this explains this verse. Now, why did we explain this verse? Because this verse was taken by the author, rahimahullah, to be the evidence that slaughtering for other than Allah is greater shirk. And this was his first evidence. So the first evidence was, we repeat, Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 162 and 163. And inshallah ta'ala, in the next class, we continue the explanations. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Here in this explanation, you learned a very important benefit. I am the first of Muslims. What does this mean? I am asking you now. What does this mean? I am the first of Muslims. We need to understand that in order to refute any misconceptions about it. This is the possibility. It means he's best follower and submitter, and he's the absolute Muslim in this sense. Okay. Mumtaz. MashaAllah. Sorry. Okay, fine. And first Muslim from the Ummah, right? From this nation of Islam. Those who accepted Islam, he was the first. Referring to? No. This one. That's okay. Is that clear, inshallah? Like you say, for example, I am the first to believe this, right? In terms of the magnification. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. We'll stop here, and then we have Megan and a new Muslim, Yakun, are welcome.